It's beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. Thank you for joining with us this week as Pastor Mars continues his series, The Power of the Blood. But first, some beautiful music by the Cathedral Quartet, a portion of the medley off of their CD, The Cathedral Quartet 25th Anniversary, and a song, Somebody Touched Me.
One day he touched that crippled man, then he made him walk again. Now the master saw with pleasure he had labor not in vain. Like the story of that crippled man, I too was bound by sin, but since my
God is so holy, and we are so unclean in this presence. And yet, if you know Jesus Christ, you're saved, you're born again. I know all of that. I realize that. But still, there is a tall gap between the holiness of God and men and our uncleanness. And you know, that's the whole subject I want to talk about today. That uncleanness that is made clean and whole only by one thing, the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't get clean any other way. You can't get polished up. You're not fit for heaven by any other route or any other source. There's no magic. There's not going to be some drug that the pharmaceutical companies develop. There's not going to be some herb or vitamin that they discover that's going to make you new. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you about the blood of Christ today. And as I said, it's a very serious and solemn subject. And I don't know of any more important thing that we could talk about. Now, for those of you who say, oh, no, Tex is going to give us a sermon today. I was hoping he'd expose the New World Order or the New Age movement. Well, I'm going to have to disappoint you because I'm going to talk about the subject today that God put in my heart. And I believe this is the dearest and most precious and vital subject ever be discussed. And we as Christians, we seem to forget sometimes the blood of Jesus and its power. I want to propose something to you, fellow Christian, that Christ's blood is the power of God. It is the very power of God. Sometimes we come against all kinds of adversities. In your life, every day, you come upon hard times, people that are opposed to you, things that aren't right. You have walls to climb, obstacles to overcome. And let me tell you something. There's only one way the Christian can overcome all, and that's the power of the blood. You can't get a PhD that'll help you. You can't finagle your way into this. But I'm here to propose that the blood of the cross is so very powerful, it means everything to you. So many people want to expose things, but they don't do it by sprinkling the blood of Jesus Christ on their circumstances. And that's a great danger. And let me tell you, it's a great fallacy, because you can't receive healing, not for your sins, not for your body, without the blood. You can't overcome the beast and the new world order without the blood. In fact, my friends, you can do nothing without the blood. A lot of people say, but Tex, you've got a powerful ministry. You've got a voice. Listen, I'm here to tell you, my voice is nothing. It's puny. If it were not for the power of the blood, Tex Moore's voice would be extinguished tomorrow morning. I don't even think it would last the night. The only thing that is keeping me alive on this planet today, I believe, is the blood of Christ. There are people out there, I could give you names of people who wish that I were dead. But they can't touch me. Not until God says, Tex Moore, your time is up. And I must tell you, and this may sound very stupid to those who don't understand what I'm talking about, but frankly, I'd rather be with Jesus than right here on earth anyway. So you crazies out there, you think you can come take my life? Well, I think my wife will miss me a lot. I know she will. I love her. But I'll be in a better place. You see, the blood of Christ protects me here on earth. And when it's God's time for Tex Moore to go on to heaven and to be with the Lord Jesus, I'm going to tell you right now, I can't wait for the day that I get to heaven and fall at his feet as if dead, just like the Apostle John. I can't wait for that day. And I think I'll be crying out like the Old Testament prophet, woe is me, I am undone, because I'm in the presence of God, and I'm unclean. But I know something. I know that Jesus Christ promised in his word that he would lift me up. And regardless of my faults and my transgressions and my sins, through faith in the blood of Christ, I will overcome. And that's part of the new covenant, which is, by the way, the blood of Christ Jesus. Now, first, I want you to know, my friends, that there are many people opposed to the blood of Christ. In all of the New Age teachings, I find they are opposed to the blood. Alice Bailey of the Lucis Trust scornfully calls Christianity that bloody religion. Not too long ago, they had a big feminist convention. They had Methodists and Lutherans and Baptists and Unitarians and I don't know what all kinds of ladies. I have a list of them. I call them ladies. They don't want to be called ladies. It was the Reimagining God conference in Minneapolis a few years back. All the goddess worshipers were there, the pagans, so forth. One of the primary things they taught was the horror of this teaching of the blood of Christ. They also said that Christianity, as taught by traditional Christians, was a bloody religion. Seems to be sort of the standard thing for Luciferians and others to say that Christianity is a bloody religion. You know, some people have exposed the Word of Faith movement. Kenneth Hagin has probably been called the father of the Word of Faith movement. You know, that's this name it and claim it gospel, this, you know, speak positive confessions and you'll get whatever you want to. Well, you know that's false teaching, so it has to be that they probably don't have a very true concept of the blood of Christ. Let me quote to you from Kenneth Hagin. Here's what he says. He says, he, that is Jesus, tasted spiritual death for every man. And his, that is Jesus, spirit and inner man went to hell in my place. Can't you see that, says Hagen? Physical death would not remove your sins. So Jesus tasted death for every man. He's talking about tasting spiritual death. Yes, Kenneth Hagin says, as does Kenneth Copeland and many of the other Word of Faith teachers, they say that Jesus Christ died and went to hell, and there he overcame the devil and was born again as a man. They say that his death didn't avail anything, that the blood of the cross didn't do any good, that he had to go down into hell and there overcome. Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ did indeed descend into hell for 3 days, and they weren't happy to see him down there. There's no doubt about that. The Bible says he was triumphant. He preached to the spirits in hell, in fact. Can you imagine how nervous and sweaty the devil was down there? That was an especially hot day down in Hades, let me tell you. But I want you to understand, when Christ went down there, triumphant, and remember now, he was triumphant. He had already finished things. You remember his last words on the cross? It is finished. He didn't have to go down in hell and finish anything. It was over with, my friends. The debt had been paid. He gave his life on the cross. He shed his blood. The power of the blood removed your sins and mine. Well, Kenneth Hagin doesn't believe that. He also believes that Jesus tasted spiritual death. Well, how can you possibly taste spiritual death when you're God? You see, God is a spirit. How can God die spiritually? Does God have to be born again? My friends, Jesus said, I am. He always was God. He was with God in the beginning and was God. Read that in John 1. And so Jesus could not possibly be separated from the Father, for he and the Father are one. And the Holy Spirit is right there with them. They are one. 1 John says there are three that bear record in heaven. Three. And these three are one. So we get to the essence of Jesus Christ. He shed his blood and tasted physical death as a man, but his spirit lived on because Jesus said, and you can read this in the Gospels, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It didn't die. You remember Jesus also told the sinner there who had turned to Christ and repented and said, Lord, remember me when you go into your reward. And Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. Oh no, my friends. There was no going down to hell for atonement. That's not where the atonement occurred. The atonement occurred when the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, died physically on that cross. He could not be split apart from the Father. Now, I want you to read Psalms 22 and 23, and you're going to understand why Jesus said, Lord, Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? Because that's a verse, certainly in the New Testament, but you go back and you read Psalms, and just a few verses later, Jesus is quoted as saying, but you haven't forsaken me. You didn't forsake the prophets, and you certainly wouldn't forsake me. Now, that's in Psalms 22 and 23. We're not talking about that today, but that's worthy of a whole sermon. Today, I want to talk to you about the blood. Again, I tell you that the false cults, the false religions, hate the blood of Christ. A book by Dr. Kathy Burns, it's called Mormonism, Masonry, and Godhood. She shows that the Mormons are basically Masons, at least the founders of Mormonism were, and that most of the rituals and sacraments of the Mormon Church are based on the Masonic Lodge. She quotes a Mormon apostle, so-called, LeGrand Richards. He writes, quote, one erroneous teaching of many Christian churches is, by faith alone we are saved. LeGrand Richards, this Mormon apostle, says that this is a false doctrine. By faith alone we are saved. This, he says, is a false doctrine. Well, right away, I knew when I read that, that if the Mormon founders taught that by faith alone we are saved, that that's a false doctrine. If they taught that, they probably were pretty confused and devilish when it got down to the doctrine of the blood of Christ. Because the very fact is that if you understand the doctrine of the blood of Christ, by faith alone you will be saved. So I knew if I studied, I would find that Mormonism didn't really believe in the blood of Christ and its power of redemption. And you know, sure enough, I found that the Mormons teach that Jesus Christ's blood was inadequate. In fact, there's a Mormon doctrine called blood atonement. They teach that there are some sins by Mormons so heinous that Christ's blood cannot atone for them. That's right. In fact, Brigham Young, you know there's Brigham Young University there in Utah, one of the founders of the Mormon faith. He took over from Joseph Smith. He said that some sins, such as murder, are so heinous that the person's own blood would be required. And that's the only way they could be atoned and go to heaven, by atoning for their own blood. Well, there are certainly laws that say, you know, an eye for an eye, and you kill somebody, you might get the electric chair or the firing squad or death by legal injection, but I don't think that's going to save you. That's not the blood atonement of the cross. You cannot shed your blood and be saved. It has nothing to do. We're talking about the only thing that can save, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God. That's why we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." You know, even this body is a corruptible thing. And even if you commit suicide for your sins, that won't save you, because your body is corrupt. All you've done is destroy something corrupt. But once you believe in the blood of Christ, and Christ Jesus comes in to dwell in you, and you have the power of the blood in your life, then if you commit suicide, well, you're harming the temple of God, which you are, Paul said. Why are you the temple of God? Because you're so special, you're so clean, you're so perfect? No. You are made a new man, a new woman in Jesus Christ. But you're still mortal, you're still struggling with the flesh and with temptation. What makes you the temple of God is that the one who shed his blood for you has come to live inside you. And the Bible says that you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And the Apostle Paul said that's why you should not sin, for it grieves the Holy Spirit by which you are sealed unto the day of redemption. It's that blood. The blood has sealed you. Now let me tell you something, my friends. This is something very mystical. It's something miraculous. Do you realize that when Jesus came to live in you, you have the very power of that blood? You are not that blood, but you have the working power, the miraculous working power available to you of Jesus' blood shed on the cross. In Hebrews 9, verse 14, we read, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." A lot of people out there doing great things, humanitarians. Well, I'm telling you right now, you can be a billionaire and give every cent you've got to the poor, to charity. And the Bible says that's just dead works. But when you believe and accept and are saved through the blood of Christ Jesus, that eternal Spirit lives in you, and you serve the living God. And there's nothing to do with dead works there. You are alive in Christ Jesus. Some people say, "Tex, what do you hope to accomplish by talking about the blood of Christ and its power?" Well, I'm going to read to you from the book of Acts. This is my responsibility. This is my obligation. I don't have any recourse. I can't tell God I'm not going to talk about the blood. It says there in Acts 20, verse 28, Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You see, I am a leader. God has given me this ministry. A lot of people say the IRS can take it away from you. No, they can't take away this from me. They can take away my tax-exempt status. That's not my ministry. The government, they say, can come shut you down. Oh, no, the government can't shut me down. My ministry might conform just a little bit, might, you know, be dramatically changed. I could go from preaching on the radio to preaching in a prison cell. But that's not going to change my ministry. And God says that I'm an overseer. God says I should take heed not only to myself, but to all the flock. And the Holy Ghost has made me an overseer, and I'm to feed the church of God. And why is this important that I feed you, brother and sister? It's because God purchased you, the church of God, with his own blood. Some people say, well, that must make me very important that God purchased me with his own blood. No, it makes God important. You and I are just wretched people. We were. We were deserving of nothing but the flames of hell. And he loved us anyway, not because you were worth anything. I heard a sermon not too long ago, and the pastor said, oh, we must really be important. Can you imagine you need to have self-esteem, build up your self-esteem, knowing that you're so vital and important that God loved you so much he gave his life on the cross. That's not true. He didn't give his life on the cross because you were worth so much. It's just the opposite. When he gave his life on the cross and shed his blood was able to transform you into something. You were not able to be transformed yourself. The masons say through good works, we can make a person a better man. But the Bible says your good works are dead. And the blood of Christ will make you a new man. Washed in the blood of Christ. Washed in the blood. There's that old hymn about being washed in the blood. When I was a little kid, I just accepted it. Not too long ago, somebody asked me, Tex Morris, please explain to me, what does it mean to be washed in the blood? You can't really be washed in the blood. It's not like putting your body in a washing machine and putting blood in and washing you and cleansing you. Well, I knew right away that person didn't know Jesus Christ. They didn't know Jesus Christ. I don't think they were being scornful. They were just ignorant. I'm telling you, my friends, when you are washed in the blood, it is something that God does that you cannot perform yourself. I suppose he's that heavenly washing machine. And you're just a recipient of some kind of a miraculous detergent that washes everything and leaves you without spot or blemish. Now, you one time could have been an adulterer. You could have been a whoremonger. You could have been a prostitute. You could have been a drunk. You could have been a liar. You could have been a cheat. Paul says, which we once were, but you're not anymore. Not after the blood washes you. Then you're a new creature in Christ. And you're made for service to God to perform live works for God. It strikes me, when we're talking about the blood, that we really cannot walk with God. We cannot have communion with God without the liberty of Christ, which the blood imparts to us. I was recently reading again 1 John chapter 5, verse 8. One of my favorite verses in the Bible says there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. What does that mean? Three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these agree in one. Let me explain this to you. God has put on my heart to understand this. It's very clear that only through the Holy Spirit will you truly understand the meaning of Jesus Christ shedding his blood on the cross. And it is through the Holy Spirit, through faith in God's finished work, that you become a new man or new woman. You are born again, according to John chapter 3, verse 3. Thus, the Spirit will bear witness on earth that you are of God. Now, when you come to know God, and the Spirit bears witness in your heart that you're of God, then you'll want to do what God says and be baptized. And there, symbolically, is the water. This is an outward, it's a human act commanded by God to be observed. Your sins have been forgiven you, so God says, present yourself to God in baptism. Now, when you're being baptized, remember, you say, well, everybody out there is watching me, and I go there, and they put my body under, and then immerse me. You know, so it can be done in a pool. It can be done in a tank at your church. It can be done in a bathtub. It can be done in the River Jordan, like Jesus. But wherever, remember, you're presenting yourself to God. You're saying, God, I'm a new person. The Spirit has witnessed to me of the blood. So you have the Spirit and the water and the blood. Now, friends, if you're a Christian, you will respect and love and hold sacred the blood of Christ.
Next week, Pastor Mars continues this series, The Power of the Blood.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.